Good morning, everyone. Man, packed house. It's lopsided on this side. I like that. Is that where all the snacks are? Got the quick dash to the snack line. Well, as Richard referred to with homecoming, how am I doing? Thanksgiving. I got high school in the brain. With Thanksgiving coming up this week, I hope your plans are coming together. Is everybody completely organized and dialed in? Oh, yeah, yeah. You are. So you're just going to walk in and it's all ready. That's awesome. We still got a lot of planning to do ourselves. But one of the things we're really excited about is our daughter's coming home from college. So that's exciting. So she gets to be with us for Thanksgiving. It happens to be on her birthday that she comes in. And we're trying to keep it real simple. You know, I'm even trying to suggest that we actually make a pumpkin pie instead of go to Costco and get that manhole cover size pie that they sell for $4.99 or something. Which, believe me, I love the manhole concept. It's huge. But it kind of makes me huge, you know, by keeping around too long. But last year we played a little football, which was fun. I don't think we can do that this year. Last year I was the all-time quarterback. It was 6-on-6. My team won. It was pretty awesome. But this year it's going to be a little bit simpler. It's interesting when I just kind of reflect a little bit on this week and as we prepare for Thanksgiving and having family and home. One of the things that was really instructive to me as a young Christian is I got involved with this Bible church in college. And what happened was a tradition that this church would do every year would be the single guys against the married guys in football. And I don't know what it was, but the married guys just feel like they had something to prove. They just, you know, look, we're old, we're married, we have kids, we're going to destroy you. And so, you know, we had high school kids to college kids. So, you know, you had big guys bearing down on you. One guy had a jersey from the Chicago Bears. He's from Chicago. He really felt like he was playing for the Chicago Bears. You know, we just kind of said, dude, just chill out a little bit. But one of the things that was so cool about that particular service or that day is we'd do it on the morning of Thanksgiving, and then we'd all traipse over to the little chapel that our church was, and we'd spend time just giving thanks. It was the most low-key service we ever had of the whole year. And people are standing there in cleats and mud and sweat and maybe a little blood if you got hit by this guy from wearing the Chicago jersey. But all we'd do is we'd intersperse it. We'd have a hymn, kind of the musical director would say, hey, has anybody got a hymn they want to sing? And you'd just call out a number. Guys, there used to be a book that had songs in it, and there was numbers to it. So for younger people, you're like, oh, I don't get what that means. There was a book, you'd actually say the number, and then you'd go to that page, and it would have a title. You know, but you'd call out the number. So we'd call out a number, we'd sing the song, and then it's just open sharing. And people would just say, just thanks. It was just this heartfelt thanks for what was on their mind. And that's really what that is all about. And what's interesting is, I don't know how you experience it in our culture, but it seems to me that more and more, the day is just about eating, isn't it? It's about family. And this whole concept of giving thanks doesn't seem to be strongly associated with the holiday of Thanksgiving. It's really kind of interesting, even how Richard referred to it in the sense of, you know, this is kind of a holiday. It is a national holiday. And as I was doing a little reading and thinking, some of you might have seen this, but I came across what I'd heard of but never seen. But George Washington actually made this a national holiday back in 1789. And what's interesting is he was asked by the Congress to make it a holiday. It wasn't just his idea. Is that both houses of our Congress in this young age of a country were saying, we've got to make this a national holiday. And I want to read part of this proclamation to you. It should come up on the screen. It's going to be in some pretty small point size. So hopefully you can follow along as I try to read it. But this is what, you got that up there? It's coming. It's so tiny. And it looks like a beach. he actually did it on a beach. So he was trying to make sure that the beach part of it would come through, which is hard to do in Virginia because, you know, this time of the year for Thanksgiving, beaches don't look like that, and they really don't. So I'm going to start reading as they try to find it, but what's really interesting is just how he presented this. He said, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these United States to the service of that great and glorious being who, in the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing that our government said, we've got to set aside this day. Now, what was so interesting in the context of what was going on, why was it that Congress said, let's make this a formal thing? Because it was already a thing that was happening. It was something that people were already doing in the culture. And when you think about being a leader, when you think about this new government, you think, wow, it makes sense that we would want to take advantage or kind of formalize something that's already taking place in the culture. Because what happened is about 170 years before this was Thanksgiving that the pilgrims celebrated. And I think I got a version of a painting of that, which is really interesting about this particular painting. This is done by Jenny Bronskum in 1914. And what's interesting is you got the idea of gathering for food. You got the idea of someone praying. What you don't have here is the mix of cultures. At one of the first Thanksgivings, what was happening is that there were probably more Native Americans than there were English settlers that were at the first Thanksgiving. It was a very multi-ethnic celebration of God's goodness. And so what they understood at the time was that God was the one providing everything that we see. I mean, this is crazy when you think about living at this time. I mean, you didn't wake up and say, hey, what do you want to do today? You woke up saying, I got to survive today. You know, that's my goal, is I got to find something to eat. I got to kill it. I got to eat it right now. So these people went through tremendous hardship and realized that God was the one providing for them. Well, that's fine with the slide. But what's really interesting is to go back even further than that. The reason that this group of Christians decided to have a day of Thanksgiving is because Thanksgiving is something that's near and dear to God's heart. Matter of fact, thankfulness is really, really important to God. And I'd like to suggest to us that thankfulness is actually a defining characteristic of a believer. That it's a defining characteristic. It's about something about who we are. We don't need the picture anymore, Debbie. Thank you. And, maybe you can put the picture back up. I thought we had a black slide there. That's fine. But what's interesting when you look at the scriptures is about 170 times throughout the whole Bible, this concept of thanks or thanksgiving is mentioned. In the Old Testament, it's mentioned about 104 times. And within that, even just the Psalms themselves, 66 different references in Psalms are talking about this idea of thanksgiving. There was an allowance for a thanksgiving offering in the book of Leviticus that if you wanted to bring thanks to the Lord, this is how you would do it. So this concept of thanksgiving is woven throughout the scriptures. You get into the New Testament, it's mentioned 66 times, this idea, this theme about giving thanks. What's really interesting about it is you see how it was modeled by Jesus, that he himself gave thanks to the Father on a number of different occasions, especially at the Last Supper. And then what you see as you move into Paul's writings, it's really curious about Paul's writings because he mentions or models thanksgiving in every single one of his letters, except for Galatians. It was a theme that was very important to Paul. And even when he recounts the Lord's Supper to the church, he's sure to say that the Lord gave thanks. He records the idea that Jesus himself gave thanks for the bread that they were about to eat. So it's this really, really important theme that takes place throughout the scriptures. And as we kind of spend a time a little bit, I want us to unpack some of Paul's thoughts on this idea of giving thanks and teaching about thanks. Now we can show that Roman slide. I think we have it. It's so intrinsic to what Paul's thinking about the Christian life. He's saying that the lack of it is also a defining characteristic for unbelievers. Look what he says here in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. He says the idea that for even though they knew God, they did not honor him or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Look at that for a second. Out of all the things you could use to characterize somebody who really doesn't know God and walk with him or trust him or believe in him or value him, would you put the word thanks? I might think they're not loving, they're mean, they use bad language. They watch bad movies. I mean, I could come up with all kinds of characteristics to try to define what a non-believer might be. But Paul says it's the very idea that they don't give God thanks. Isn't that interesting? how there's something so intrinsic about this concept of giving thanks that it's a defining characteristic of a believer and it's a defining characteristic of an unbeliever. Something that simple is honoring God and thanking Him. That's why I want us to just explore a little bit more about Paul's thinking on this. And what I want us to do is I want to look at three verses, because it's in five books in the New Testament, that Paul talks about the concept of thanksgiving, but more as a command, that he says to believers, I want you to do this. I want you to be about this. And I think we got the next slide for the three verses that I want to kind of draw out. First is the idea from Ephesians. Do we have Ephesians up there? Okay. So Paul in the book of Ephesians is writing, he says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. And in this paragraph, he's describing what's kind of normal or normative for the Spirit-filled Christian. That as you're walking with Jesus, you're singing hymns, you're celebrating, you're fellowshipping, but a very natural part of walking with God's Spirit is that you're always giving thanks. This is just a part of who you are. Again, in a different verse, he says in Colossians, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. He says it really simple, just be thankful. This is what we need to be about. Now, what's interesting about this verse is this is what's known as an imperative. This is a command now. The one we just saw was, hey, this is describing the Christian life. Paul's now starting to say, I want you to do this. This is a command. This is something I want you to learn how to do as a Christian and be about it as a Christian. And the last verse from 1 Thessalonians, he's talking to the church there and he says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Again, it's this imperative. This is what I want you to do. I want you to learn, Christian, how to be a person who gives thanks, because that's honoring to God. What I want us to do is I want to unpack this idea of giving thanks. I want to try to pull these three verses together and look at five components that Paul talks about in all of these verses, okay? So we might have to push the potluck to about 4:30 if that's okay. I think the food will be fine. But I'd like to do this as quickly as I can without rushing, but I want us to look at five different components about what Paul's saying. First of all, it's just the main concept. The main verb is to give thanks. That's the big idea, is giving thanks. And what's involved with that, the word literally means thanking God for his good graces. And the word that's there, it's a really interesting word. It's called, in Greek, it's eucharisteo, which is a verb to say this idea. But it's really similar to this concept or this word you've probably heard, Eucharist. What's really interesting about Eucharist is the bread that's offered in a Catholic Mass. It's called the Eucharist. And one of the things that's unique about the word Eucharist is it comes from this term Eucharistia, which is this idea of blessing. Because the word Eucharistia is a translation of a Hebrew word, barakah, which means to bless. And so this idea is that this Eucharist is a blessing to all of us. And the idea is this simple notion that God wants us to be about blessing Him, thanking Him for His good graces, and honoring Him for all that He's done. What's really interesting in the Jewish culture is that there is an awareness, especially around mealtime, of really reflecting and thinking about God and His works, His creation, His redemption, His sanctification. A Jewish person was always trying to rehearse and practice those realities to be grateful for those things. Matter of fact, most Jewish prayers started with this Hebrew phrase that went, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu, which means, blessed are you, Lord God. And they wanted to always remember that God, thank you, bless you for all that you've given us. So the concept of giving thanks is just expressing to Him what we're grateful for, being thankful. I did a little work on just trying to understand that more, just how we think of it in just a regular dictionary. It's an expression of gratitude or appreciation. That's what thanks is. Now, it's silly to kind of talk about this like, okay, Ben, we understand what thanks is. But have you ever just had one of those flippant thanks where you just say thanks and you don't mean it? You just say thanks because it comes off your lips? You just say thanks because it's courteous? So it's good to take a moment to think, what does it mean to be thankful, to have a sense of thanks? What I think is really interesting about this word is the idea that it's trying to get at the recognition and enjoyment of the good qualities of someone. The recognition and enjoyment, that you recognize these good qualities, that you enjoy these good qualities, that there's an experience, there's something inside of you that's glad you experienced this. You have a response. There's something that's really, it's touched you in a certain way. This appreciation is the idea that there's a true feeling and sensing the value. Like, wow, that was meaningful. I really enjoyed that. That was really nice. That was really kind. It resonates something in you, that experience. But there's also an awareness that this is coming from outside of you. You didn't generate this good thing. Someone else did. And someone gives it to you as a gift. So your idea and the feeling is like, wow, I'm the recipient of something. It's a humble state. It's a reflective state. And so this idea of being thankful to God is not just ripping it off and saying, okay, thanks, got it done. And that was one of the things that the prophet was challenging Israel about, because you'd bring these offerings of thanksgiving and other offerings, but your heart is far from God. It's not just saying the words, thank you, but it's sensing that, wow, what have I been given? That I'm really reflective, thoughtful about what it is that I've been given. So interesting when you try to teach kids how to be thankful. Do you remember that? Maybe you're in that stage right now. You just tell them to teach them to be thankful. Well, what happens? What do you say after dinner? Thanks for dinner, Mom. Okay, now mean it. Thanks for dinner, Mom. Okay, you didn't mean it. You know, how did you mean? So we're always aftering, did you mean it, right? Did you say thank you to them when they dropped you off? Yes, Mom. Did you mean it? You know? When you got that from your teacher, did you say thank you? Yes, I did, Dad. Did you mean it? We're trying to get our kids to recognize that thankfulness is an attitude. It's an appreciation. It's a reflection of, wow, something outside of me blessed me and helped me and made my life better for just a brief moment. And thanks is an expression to give that back to them. I remember for me, about a few months ago, as I was kind of working through some stuff with the Lord, it kind of dawned on me that there's some basic stuff that I wasn't really thankful for. That I've been caught up in all the weeds and the thorns and the thistles that are kind of growing up around me with all the stuff that I got to do. And there wasn't a thankfulness in my heart. There wasn't a valuable appreciation for who God is. That for 30 plus years, I've said, thank you for dying for my sins, and it can roll off my tongue very easily. But I needed to take some time to really cut through all that garbage, to cut through all the noise, and say, am I really thankful? Do I really appreciate what he's done? So that's the first idea that Paul's trying to get after, is that that thankfulness is an expression of genuine appreciation. A genuine appreciation. There's a second thing that he wants us to understand in this command, is that who do you say thanks to? You say thanks to somebody. Now I'm going to get a little wonky here for you, and if you love English grammar, you'll go, wow, it's about time we got even more English grammar or grammar in a sermon. To thank is a transitive verb. That means that it requires an object to be acted upon. In other words, that you thank, you don't just say thank. You say thank you. You say thanks, Bob. You say thanks, Mom. It's the idea that, you know, if you were to just say Bob ran, that makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, okay. What'd Bob do yesterday? Bob ran. I get that. If you say, what'd Bob do yesterday? You say, Bob thanked. You go, Bob thanked who? Bob thanked what? So this idea, this verb, this thankfulness has an object. And the object that Paul is calling us to is to reflect consistently that this object is God. We don't thank our lucky stars. There's a person who has given us all these things. And we direct our thanks to that person. It's like if I were to drop Sydney off at basketball practice, which I've done hundreds of times, and I will keep doing like I've done all this week, and we'll take her to games and do all these things. And if she were to say, gosh, I'm so glad I got out to the game on time, thank my lucky stars, I'm going to go, hold on, girl. You're thanking me. Because I took my time, and I left things early, and I'm paying for the gas, and I'm paying, you know, of course, I'm not going to run her down like that. But that's this concept, is that we thank people for what they've given us, what they've done for us, who they are in our lives. Several years ago, when I was performing in Comedy Sports, which is an improv comedy downtown, one of our players, Mike, and his wife were celebrating their 15th anniversary down in, I think, is it Yahats? I think it sits. And if you know what the kind of the layout there, these breakers that go out into the water, and there's signs that say, hey, don't go out here when it's windy and, you know, hard, because you don't want to be on these breakers. Well, Mike and his wife were celebrating their 15th anniversary. And they ignored the sign, and as people were walking past them on the way in, they said, hey, it's pretty choppy out there. You got to be really careful. And as they walked out there and celebrating just their anniversary and being together and some time together, one of the waves came up, the wind knocked Mike's wife into the water. And Mike couldn't find her. And Mike was terrified. And the more Mike's looking for her in the water, the wave comes up and grabs Mike. And both of them died. And what was so fascinating about just looking at Mike's life and celebrating his life and thinking about his life, about 2 days before he had posted this very comment, because this was near Thanksgiving when this happened, he posted this comment. He said, "Are you really thankful or just glad? Thankfulness involves gratitude to a person. More often than not these days, when someone says they're thankful, they just mean, I'm glad or I'm happy that. Think about it and choose your words carefully." We say thanks to a person. And when we think about saying thanks to God, there's two brief ideas. First of all, is that our very existence comes from God. Our very existence comes from God. It's interesting when you try to think about this in a philosophical sense, and I'll go there for a second. But God is what's called a necessary being, okay? In other words, whose non-existence is impossible. He's necessary. He's always been there. He's always existed. He's never had a beginning. He's a necessary being. But what we are as human beings, we're called contingent beings. And it means our very essence depends on this necessary being. That all that we have, everything about us, about our breath, about our blood, about our hearts pumping, about everything, depends on this God. Our very existence comes from him. Here's a great verse, if we have it, in the book of Acts. There we go. Paul was talking to some philosophers in Athens, and he was explaining to them about Jesus. And he said, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his children." See what Paul's communicating, that our very existence comes from God. The fact that we're right here is by his grace and by his mercy. The fact that we're breathing is by his mercy and by his grace. Everything about this universe belongs to him. It doesn't belong to us. And we so often get caught up with, this is my stuff, my time, my whatever, and we forget the idea that everything is a gift from God. And it's his prerogative to rule how he wishes. We're just grateful that he's good and he's merciful. But when we say thanks to God, we recognize that every single thing, every blood vessel, every breath we have comes from him. It's always interesting to me when you see like a athlete after a big game and they're talking about the game. You know, some guys are trying to learn how to thank God, but there's a lot of actors, there's a lot of billionaires, there's a lot of athletes who basically talk about how great they are, aren't they? You know, they never stop to mention that, oh yeah, God provided, you know, just gifts and abilities. God provided a drive. God provided, you know, the willpower to keep doing this. You know, God provided a basketball court to keep playing. They never list all the millions of things that God gave them. It's all about me. And so the thankful person recognizes that God has given them all these things. I used to listen to a radio host, not as much. I think it's just I'm not in the car at that time. But one of the things I did like about Rush Limbaugh is his phrase that he had talent on loan from God. And I like that phrase because it recognizes and it appreciates at least that simple concept. We can't agree with Rush on other things. We can agree on that idea that everything we have is on loan. And that's why we thank God. The second reason why we thank God is not only that he's made us in his image, but he saved us from our sin's alienation. My salvation comes from him. Every single one of those verses that we looked at, it was this idea in Ephesians 5. It says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians 3:15, let Christ rule in your hearts to which you were called indeed. In 1 Thessalonians, it said, in Christ, all of the things that we have because of our relationship with Christ. We rehearse that, and we realize what he's given us. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I don't know when you met Christ and when you really began to understand his forgiveness for you and his love for you. But where do you think you would be today if he wasn't in your life? What kind of person would you be? What kind of things would you be involved with? What would your character be like? When I look at the stuff I was doing in high school and the junk that I was putting in my brain and all the goals that I had at the time, I shake when I think of the kind of person that I would be today the kind of gross things in my life, the kinds of things I'd be chasing. You see, Christ saved us, not only from the alienation from God, but from destroying ourselves. This is one of the things that's so interesting about giving thanks about this. And when I talk to high school kids going off to college, one of the things I like to say is, you know, you need to understand that going off to college is a big challenge. But the reason it's a big challenge for most Christians, especially for those going to a secular school, is not because they find some Marxist-Leninist left-handed professor, you know, that attacks their faith. Believe me, that happens. It definitely happens. But what wipes out most Christians is they start making some poor choices. They don't have a supportive community. They're hanging around the wrong crowd. And the more they make these poor choices, the more their heart's filled with guilt and shame and condemnation. And little by little, they can't handle the guilt and the shame of their behavior. And the whole time, Satan's goal is to put emotional distance between us and Christ. And how we do that is by guilt and shame. The more shame and guilt, we're like further and further and further and further and further away. And the one thing that just destroys that gap is when Christians turn to Christ and come to him and say, I've sinned. Thank you that you've forgiven me. We don't plead for his forgiveness. We don't beg for his forgiveness. We don't make deals or bargains for his forgiveness. We thank him. Because when we thank him for his finished work on the cross, we're connected again. And that's why it's so important that when we give thanks, we understand that he's made us and he's bought us. Well, there's a few more things I want us to think about. Third, Paul talks about having the idea that to give thanks at all times. This is a phrase about just when, at all times, because God is sovereign and God has a plan. And every experience that happens in our life, he has purposes for. He will bring good and beauty out of that. It's really interesting how Paul was even referring in 1 Timothy. He told Timothy and his gang that one of the other things you should be thankful for is political leaders. Could we really be obedient to that today? Is that really something we can be obedient today? Is God really in charge of what's going on in our culture and our country? Kind of doesn't seem like it, does it? You know, you can find all kinds of examples to say he's not anywhere here. But Paul's saying, guys, I want you to give thanks even for that, because God is in charge of everything. He has a plan, and he's working at his plan. And when you think and reflect a little about your life, you know, the time that you were born in, the century, the country, the family of origin, the issues, all the stuff in your life God has sovereignly put together for one reason. He knows you. He has a plan for you, and he's good. And when we give thanks at all times, it's reflecting that he's in charge of all things. He's doing all of those deals. You know, the good times and the bad times. I don't think I mentioned this to you, but before, when I saw you last time, I was on my way. I was going to do this road trip with a friend of mine. And his son goes to UCLA, and he said, hey, look, we're just going to drive down. Did I tell you that story already? I don't know if I did. So he said, hey, I got to drop something off. Let's just jump in the truck, and we'll drive to UCLA. I said, yeah, but just the two of us? He goes, yeah, it'd be us. We'll take no breaks. You know, we'll minimize everything. You know, gas stops, we'll time them. We'll see if we can get it in there and out efficiently, you know. So we left at 6 a.m. in the morning and drove 14 and a half hours straight to UCLA. It was awesome. It was just two guys. No stops, you know, just beeline of the thing. Talking, having a great time, throwing the frisbee, throwing the football, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And then, you know, we're eating hamburgers all day. We eat it in and out, end the day at in and out, which is like, this is awesome. You know, nobody's saying, you shouldn't eat that or don't have too much. It's like, no, we're just eating in and out, man. That's all we're doing. You know. Crashing at this hotel. We're just like these two single guys that are just going crazy. You know, he said, maybe we should turn this like into a Disney movie or something. I go, I don't know. It's kind of too clean. You know, we have to throw in some shenanigans, or one of us has to be, yeah, anyway. And then the very next day, he got to hang out with his son. Very next day, I got to hang out with Lauren, my daughter, in Los Angeles at school. He flew home. I flew home. And it was just this crazy, older, white dad road trip. It was a blast. It's just like a fun thing that God allowed me to have. That God gives us all kinds of fun things, and we stop and realize that he's given these as gifts, it makes a difference to enjoy it. But at the same time, the things that are difficult in our lives, at all times, like when I have a fight with my wife, when we don't agree about things, when we don't see it the same way, when how we want to handle a problem or solve a problem isn't going really well, and we're fighting. It's at those moments that Paul's saying, give thanks. Because God's in charge. He knows what's going on in your life. He brought this person in your life for a reason, especially if you're married. He's brought this person to you to help you become more like him, to grow you, to help you, to teach you to learn to be more patient, more loving, more kind, more everything. So Paul's saying, be thankful at that stuff too. Because God is sovereign and he has a plan. At all times we're to be thankful. I think we have a picture of some stones. And what's interesting about these stones, these polished gems, don't these look pretty? Does anybody have this hobby? I haven't really met someone who's had this hobby, just polishing gemstones. And you've seen it or like it?
I have a rock tumbler back at home in Colorado.
Do you? Wow. See, that's, I was learning about this. And what's interesting about these rock tumblers is when you put the rocks in, they obviously don't look like this. But what rock tumblers use is what's called tumbler grits. Now, I've heard of hominy grits, okay, but I've not heard of tumbler grits. But they're different, huh? They're the same. Thank you. They go down the same too, right? Thank you, Steve. That was awesome. But you add irritants into the rocks of different grades. And you start off with a really large-scale irritant and then more and more and more refined. To what happens is these stones tumble against each other and against the grit and the solution that over time they turn into these gorgeous rocks. It does, doesn't it? And you see the beautiful colors and the shine and the contrast, and they're all so individual and so unique. And see, this is what God does with us sovereignly. He allows good things and bad things to tumble together. And as we recognize it and we learn to say thank you, we're participating with him. We see it from a different perspective. Paul says be thankful at all times because God's working. There's a fourth thing, not only at all times, but for all things. That God is the giver of good gifts, of all good gifts. We kind of touched on this in the series of James. I think we might have the book of James in there. James chapter 1. Is that next? Maybe. Maybe not. What's behind door 3? But in James chapter 1, verse 17, he says that every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. And when we see everything as a gift from God like that, it changes our perspective. It really does. We see that the smallest things can become gifts. I remember I was talking with a friend of mine, and he did fairly well in his life, and he loves water skiing, and he wanted to buy a boat, and he was just really wrestling with buying a boat. Now, I don't know all that he was trying to process with God, but the idea of owning a boat for him was creating a lot of guilt. And I didn't know if this is guilt because maybe God was truly leading him to do something else with his money, or if it's just this idea that I'm not supposed to, like it's bad to enjoy a boat. And I said, well, Bert, have you ever just thanked God for the boat? Seems like you're free in Christ to buy one. You love water skiing. Do you ever just stop and say thank you for the boat? He's like, well, no, because I don't know if it's, And I was trying to help him rehearse the idea that, look, God's giving you a clean conscience to do it. He's giving you a budget. You love doing this. You're doing it with your family. You're doing it with friends. Just thank him. And the more you say thank you for the things that he's giving you, God is real to you. You're getting closer and closer to him in a sense because you're learning to see everything as a gift from him. Everything. And when we start to work through life that way, where we thank him for all things, man, it's amazing how much we see him show up, isn't it? Because there's so many things that he gives us. So many different things that he gives us. C.S. Lewis once said that gratitude exclaims very properly, how good of God to give me this. Isn't that interesting? And when you just stop and look at even your faculties, your ability to see, the ability to think, the ability to enjoy music, taste, I mean, you just start going down this long list. It's amazing how God's made us as human beings. Amazing. And to just start taking a little inventory and talking about that. I'm thankful for Kraft macaroni and cheese powder. I just love that stuff. That's awesome. I thank God for the chemist that invented it, Some test tube somewhere back in the Midwest, some guy was like, I got it, finally. It's just cheesy enough, but, and it's like, wow. And he turned it into a powder, and he just packaged it in billions and billions of little boxes. My neighbor's dad used to make Kraft macaroni and cheese for us a couple times a week in the summer. And I don't know how he did it, but he'd always let us have like a tiny teaspoon taste of the powder in and of itself and not throwing it in the macaroni. So I think that's where I got addicted to it, basically. It's just the cheese powder. But there's so many things that we just practice thankfulness. I was spending some time with the Lord in our living room, and our dog comes in, and I just started thinking of how great it is to have a dog. And I actually, this is going to sound really weird, I'm sorry, but I just started even saying to my dog, I said, you know, I'm really thankful for you. Yeah, he's going like this. Turn, you know, dogs have their head. I said, you know, I love how you get the paper with me in the morning, you know, and then you do the things, and, you know, you just bring so much joy to our family. I'm so glad God brought us, you know, you and, you know, the whole deal, and he's still doing this bit, you know, and the more I'm going on, then he's starting to have, you know, how dogs, like, give you eye contact, and then they look away. I think he's kind of like, okay, dude, this is a little too much, you know, he's kind of looking away. But when I just stopped and looked at this dog that just recently got sprayed with a skunk, you know, that we had to take care of, and that sometimes throws up in the house, it just takes a different perspective that this is a creature that God let have us in our house that just brings a little bit of joy each day. We can recount millions of things like that because God wants us to be thankful in all things. Well, lastly, not only that we should be thankful and thankful to God at all times and in all things, but lastly, because this is his will for you. So interesting that Paul says this is his will. In other words, this is his desire. This is what he wants for you. This is how he wants you to live. He wants you to become these kinds of people that are thankful. And I think there's at least three things that happen when we're thankful this way. When we give thanks, God's glorified by being acknowledged as the righteous owner that he is. We recognize everything is coming from him that glorifies him. It puts us in our proper place. And it requires us to know that we're dependent. We're not independent. So he wants us to practice thankfulness to accomplish that. Second thing, he's glorified by being acknowledged as the good giver that he is. That when we say thanks, we're saying, wow, he really gives lots and lots of good gifts. And what's so interesting to me, when I fast forward to Judgment Day, and when the Bible talks about, you know, Paul saying that they don't even give him thanks, God's just going to start with the billions of things that he gave to each individual and just walk through each thing, possibly, and demonstrate and help people understand just how much he loves them, how much he has given them, and how much they've said, I don't care. And judgment becomes very, very clear to people that you really don't care about God, do you? So when we say thanks, we recognize that he's the good giver. That helps us. It requires our humility and not being proud. And lastly, that he's glorified when we give thanks because we're acknowledging him as the smart sovereign that he is. He's brought all of these things in. He knows what he's doing. I don't get it right now, but I trust him. I believe in him. C.S. Lewis said at one point, we ought to give thanks for all fortune. If it is good, because it is good. If bad, because it works in us patience, humility, contempt of this world, and the hope of our eternal country. God wants us to be thankful. Just a couple quick closing thoughts. One is just the idea that for some of us, this is kind of hard to hear. Because maybe there's stuff going on in your life that's honestly just a little too hard to be thankful for. And what challenges us the most in our life is that kind of pain. Just pain. Just heaviness, pain, physical pain, emotional pain. Maybe some of us are in a situation where it's a protracted period of pain. Maybe you've been struggling with something for a really long time, and it just doesn't seem like it's going to go away. Some of you have lost someone that you love very dearly. And it's at moments like that that it almost seems like, really? Are you really thinking, does God really want me to be thankful? And the Bible's saying, yeah. Now, not the kind of thankfulness that has this deep, wonderful, warm feelings because it's like a warm sunset, like, wow, this is so beautiful. But God wants us to learn how to be thankful. Because as we practice the thankfulness, even in the most difficult things of our life, we're training our hearts to realize God's there. He's big. He loves me. He's mysterious. I don't get it, but he's on my side. So we need to keep practicing that even when it's hard. Even when it's hard. And what's crazy is just how the practice of our thanksgiving affects those who are around us. I don't know if we have that last piece of art, the one before that, there we go. I don't know if you've seen this Norman Rockwell cover from Saturday Evening Post, but it's just an elderly lady and possibly her grandson just giving grace in a restaurant. And what's interesting is look at all the people that are around them and look at the faces. I mean, the two kids are just like beside themselves, aren't they? They're like, what the heck is this? They're intrigued. They're drawn in. Even the guy that's leaving, he's picking up his coat or his chair. He can't help but notice. And then even the sliver of this guy's face, if you can see it, all you see is his face. All of these heads are turned because two people are stopping to bow to talk to the God of the universe.
And it's their sincerity.
And their sincerity, absolutely. It's amazing how something so simple is so powerful of an encouragement to believers, but also a witness to non-believers. That, wow, you're really thanking God for this? That's why one of the most powerful things we can do is just say thanks either in public or as we have friends or around Thanksgiving this week. That it's not just a simple prayer, that it's a moment of reflecting and praying. It's asking other people to join us to pray. It says, if you have non-believers in your home at Thanksgiving, that you take some time to really reflect. Because there's something about a bowed head to the God of the universe and a grateful heart that speaks loudly. I want to try something real quick here, and then we can go to that last list. I want to suggest that we practice thankfulness. And I'm going to throw out a challenge to you. You don't have to take this, but the challenge is there's five areas that I want to encourage you to just think about. These are just prompts. And I'm just to throw them out. I don't know if we have time because I want to make sure we can get to some sharing and stuff. But if you can show that last list of some characteristics. Here's five areas to just think about, especially this week as you move towards Thanksgiving. But what are some things about your relationship with God that you're thankful for? Now, what has he done in your life? How has he grown you? How is he helping you? What does it really mean to be saved from your sins? Where would you be if he was not in your life, convicting you, helping you become a better person? Where would you be? What kind of person would you be? Secondly, your relationship with others. Who are the people in your life that you value, that you're thankful for? Sure, they push your buttons. Sure, they want rides to endless basketball practices. Sure, whatever. But who are the people that are valuable to you? Do you see them as blessings? That you're not isolated. That you are known. That people do care about you. What about your faculties? You could spend a lot of time on this. The sights, the sounds, the smells, the tastes. I was driving in this morning and just going, I have depth perception. How crazy is that? I can see things at different depths. I can see different colors. I can see all kinds of stuff. I was talking with someone about their phone the other night, and we were talking about just the incredible lenses on there. But you know what all these camera makers are trying to do? They're trying to mimic the human eye, aren't they? Because God's given us an amazing body. And so as you reflect on all your different faculties, to say thanks for all the things that you can do with that. Your interests and passions. What do you love? What are the things you love to do? Do you incorporate thanks into that? Whether it's cooking or walking or listening to music or exercise or working on stuff or whatever it is. Do you say, God, thank you that I have this passion. This just brings a little joy to me. I love this. And lastly, your hardships and your struggles. Where are you struggling? What's a protracted problem that you have? What's not going right now? Can we practice thanking God about that? And I want to suggest, I'm going to try this with my own family. It may not work, but I'll try. I want to suggest in the next several days that you try to find 50 things in your life that you can be thankful for. These are just five suggested areas, and maybe 50 is way too much. Maybe you go, gosh, I can't get past 15. Great, it's more than you would have had if you didn't try. But I want to suggest and challenge you that as you move towards Thanksgiving, that you spend some time reflecting and thinking about some of these categories and maybe even writing them down. Maybe it's a part of your celebration. I don't know. But God wants us to be thankful. Because there's something about what it does in us. Not only that it recognizes him, but it does something in us. It makes him real. And even what's crazy, it makes us healthier when you look at a lot of the different ways. So let's practice thankfulness this week. Let me pray for us. Father, we want to just acknowledge that it's so clear and so humbling to know that everything we have is from you. That there's no room for pride. That there's no room for arrogance. And I pray that you'd help us to become people more and more each day that really recognize everything is a gift from you. And even the challenges that you lay in our life, it's for a good purpose, that you're trying to help us grow up and that you're always there to help us. I pray that as we move towards Thanksgiving this week, that you would just prompt us to really reflect on all that you've given, that we'd have a genuine appreciation for things in our life and talk to you about that. And that as we do, we would really sense the closeness of who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.